This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. The pandemic has brought global travel nearly to a halt. Immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers are in an even more complicated situation today than they were before the pandemic. You sent us lots of questions about visas, border crossings, and immigration, so we've brought back Michelle Hackman, who covers immigration policy for The Wall Street Journal. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with Lauren in Sonoma County, California, who has a question about records of diagnosed COVID-19 patients.
It's important to keep track of who has COVID, particularly for contact tracing. However, I have concerns if there's a centralized database and it has citizens, residents, and immigrants on this database, will this information later be used as leverage against immigrants when they're trying to apply for citizenship, residency, or be used as ammunition to deport them?
There have been many different privacy concerns raised about COVID-19 tracing. Michelle, what do you know about this kind of record keeping and immigration?
Yeah, so the government has taken pains to really emphasize that treatment for COVID is not going to count against someone in their immigration case. So if you're applying for citizenship, if you're applying for residency, the government has specifically said, please don't worry, go out there, get your treatment. And in terms of the listener's question about contact tracing, I understand there are some sort of general civil liberties concerns about having your name in a database. But from what we know right now, there is absolutely no reason to think that that database could fall into the hands of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and lead to your deportation.
Okay. I hope Lauren finds that reassuring. Let's take this next question from Timothy in Baltimore, Maryland.
How have immigrant communities been impacted? To what extent does legislation provide relief to immigrant families of different statuses? And what's being done for immigrants and asylum seekers in ICE detention facilities?
There's a lot to unpack there, Michelle. So let's start with the impact on immigrant families. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so the stimulus checks that that Congress passed a couple months ago, actually most immigrants qualify. The shorthand that's easy to use is if you have a Social Security number, you should qualify for a stimulus check. Now, the issue is if you file your taxes jointly with someone who doesn't have a Social Security number, then the whole family becomes ineligible for a stimulus check. And this actually has become a political fight on Capitol Hill.
What about the second part of his question? We've heard about the spread of COVID-19 in prisons. What about immigration detention centers?
Immigration detention centers have been a real hot spot for coronavirus, unfortunately. There isn't quite a lot of testing, but from what we know, let's say several thousand people have been tested and about half have come back positive. So that suggests a really high positive rate in immigration detention.
Yeah. All right. Our next listener question is about travel between the U.S. and Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Diane Williams, and I rely on home health care providers. One of my nursing assistants who comes is going to go down to Mexico to see her husband who lives in Mexico. First of all, are the borders open to come and go? She's an American citizen. Her husband is not. And what are the conditions in Mexico? Are they having good precautions there?
So, Michelle, I know you're not a doctor and can't advise on what to do in terms of health and protecting yourself, but in terms of crossing the border, what can you tell Diane?
American citizens are free to cross at their leisure. For other people, only people performing essential duties are allowed to cross the border. That's defined pretty broadly, but I imagine your home health aide's husband would need some kind of a visa and an excuse to come back and forth. The other part of the question, Mexico, there has been concern, particularly in border cities, about coronavirus outbreaks. So I can't say that's not a concern.
All right. Here's another question about relief for those who don't have permanent status in the country.
This is Sophia in Colorado. Will the next stimulus check from the federal government be available to people without permanent immigration status, for instance, young people with DACA who have a Social Security number and work permit but no permanent status? What about people who once had work authorization and therefore have Social Security numbers but whose work authorization expired and are currently undocumented?
So this is getting into a bit more nitty-gritty detail in response to the question you answered a bit earlier. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so DACA recipients are eligible. DACA recipients have social security numbers, and so that means they get stimulus checks.
Okay.
To the second part of the question, that's an interesting question. I can't say I know the answer, and I don't think the government does either. They've been rushing out these stimulus checks so quickly that I'd imagine if they have a social security number on file, that they might send someone a check whether or not they've been able to check their immigration status more recently.
And that might just be because they're in a hurry to get the checks out and they don't want to add in the potential
and
delay
also,
there.
And also importantly, the IRS doesn't have access to someone's immigration status. It's sort of a separate database. Yeah.
Okay. Let's turn to the question of visas. We've gotten several listener questions about that. This one comes from Mar in Ireland, who writes, will the international medical graduates who matched into medical residencies starting on July 1st be able to start this year, given that USCIS has suspended premium processing on H-1B visas and suspended issuing other non-immigrant visas like the J-1 visa? She adds the two visa types being used by foreign physicians to work in the USA. And then also adds, New York in particular will be hard hit by this, as it's the state that hires the most foreign physicians. So, Michelle, you may need to give us a bit of background information to help us understand what the question is asking, but what can you tell Mar?
For sure. So the question is dealing with visa processing abroad. So if you want to come to the country, you have to go to a consulate, apply for a visa. Most consulates are shut down right now because you have to go and do an interview. You know, there isn't much social distancing sort of possible there.
Yeah.
And so it's really caused a concern for colleges and in this case, residencies, that people can't go and apply for their visa, or in some cases they still can't apply. They can put in their paperwork, but the processing is sort of so slow that they can't come in time for the summer or the fall semester for students.
Yeah.
So that is a real concern. The one thing I would say is the administration has said they'll do everything in their power to sort of speed up processing for doctors.
Right. You'd think that would be in a special need right now.
Yes.
There would be an urgency to that. Let's take one more question before we have to wrap up. This one comes from Michael in Los Angeles.
I have a question about O-1 visa holders. I work with an automotive photographer who has an O-1 visa and is stuck in France. We want to get him back reunited with his family here in Los Angeles and the rest of our crew so we could get back to working, but are unclear about when O-1 visas will be able to return.
So O-1 visas, we should clarify, are for those who demonstrate extraordinary ability in their field. Michelle, what can you tell Michael?
Yeah, they're commonly known as the Einstein visa.
Right.
But they, you know, this person is caught up in the administration's travel restrictions. And unfortunately, the only people who are able to come into the country right now are citizens and permanent residents, green card holders. And so, unfortunately, even if you've got that, you know, Einstein visa, you can't come in right now unless you get a special exception.
Michelle Hackman of The Wall Street Journal, thanks for coming back and answering these questions for us.
Thank you.
This week on The National Conversation, some churches, mosques, and synagogues are reopening. What decisions are you making when it comes to safely practicing your faith? Leave us a message at 202-403-0386. That's 202-403-0386. This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.